Here's today's message. We pray you are blessed.
Okay, Genesis chapter 11. I will present an overview of this chapter, and then we will go back and look at specific verses. Okay, so what is chapter 11 telling us? In verses 1 through 4, we see that there is a unity of all of the nations of the earth. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 9 verse 1, the Lord had told Noah and his sons to populate the earth, essentially to fill the earth and to spread throughout the earth. But in chapter 11, we see that instruction by the Lord did not take place, because we see how all of the nations are gathered in one place. Okay, so given the unity of all the nations in one area, all the people on the earth spoke a common language at that time, and they settled in an area called the Sinai. And this was in spite of God's instructions, as mentioned in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. So this unity, of course, there is power in unity. They were so united that it led to pride and arrogance, and this was evidenced by their wanting to come against the Lord. And they wanted to exalt themselves by building a tower that would stretch out to the heavens. Then in verses 5 through 9, we are told how God acknowledged their intent and was not pleased. Obviously, we see disobedience here. As a result of this disobedience and God acknowledging their intent, He confused their language and they were unable to understand one another. And then he scattered them across the earth, which led to the beginning of the different languages in the earth. So today we have thousands of different languages spoken by different people in the earth. This was the reason why that happened. In verses 10 to 32, these verses traced the genealogy of Shem, who was Noah's son, and that is traced all the way to a man called Abram. Okay, and we are told that Terah was the father of Abram, who left Ur of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. So that was a quick overview of chapter 11. So let's look at some specific verses here. Let's look at verse 4. This was after all of the people had gathered in one area. And then they said to one another, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." Right here, we see a really obvious disobedience of God's instructions. And because of fear, they wanted to build this tower. And I have read some commentators say that the tower was as high as 300 feet or over 300 feet and as wide as about 300 feet. And it was built in like a pyramid fashion. It was quite a display, like a monument that these people built in order to exalt themselves and to take pride in their accomplishment. Isn't this so familiar with what we do today, though? We do not build the Tower of Babel, but we accumulate a lot of monuments, a lot of degrees, a lot of certificates, a lot of various earthly accomplishments. All of that is fine to the extent that we don't allow that to take precedence or to rule our lives. okay? If we have to collect monuments and to plaster them all over the walls in our homes or in the office, that is fine. But we have to remember, though, that our priority has to be God, okay? We cannot use monuments to replace God, which exactly was what these people were trying to do, okay? And we're going to find out how God was really ticked off. Verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. Verse 6, the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Verse 7, come, let us go down and confuse the language so they will not understand each other. The let us here is referring to the triune God, which I have already established in this podcast, that we serve one God in three unique persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Here again, we see the Trinity or the triune God involved in this decision to scatter the people across the earth. You know, look at verse 5. The Lord said, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. This is not saying that the Lord came down physically. This is just very humorous. It's like they were trying to build a tower to reach the heavens, but God in the heavens is above humans and the earth. Obviously, he is our creator. And no matter how these people tried, they were not going to be able to reach the heavens. So this is just a very humorous comment that God had to look at them from above. Okay? So now we are told, scatter them all over the earth, which was God's original instructions to mankind in the first place. So they weren't going to do it, so God just did it. Just going to show you that God's will always come to pass, whether we like it or not, as far as his overall sovereign will. I'm not talking about God's will for each of our lives. You see, God's absolute will for each of us, a believer, will come to pass, such as he will conform us into the image of Christ. If we obey him in this life, we will start to see that change take place. But if we do not obey God in this life, and if we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we die and go be with the Lord, that conformation will take place because we will be like Christ. That is what I am referring to, God's overall absolute will for each believer, okay, to conform us into the image of Christ will happen in this life or the life after. However, we as free moral agents can prevent God's will to come to pass in our lives, okay? For example, it took me a couple of years to finally take a step of faith and to start attending college to become a minister. It took a while. Had I disobeyed that calling in my life to be a minister, God in his love and grace will not punish me. Okay, if I were to die, I would still go to heaven. But all that would have meant is that God would have called somebody else in place of me, you see. So I would have disobeyed God, okay? I would have disobeyed his calling in my individual life, but his ultimate will for my life to conform me to the image of Christ still would have taken place, okay? Even though I would have disobeyed his will in my individual life to become a minister. I hope that is clear. I took some time to explain that because there are many people who are really confused into thinking that God's will will automatically come to pass regardless of our actions. That is not true, because if you know the scriptures, you will soon find out, as we're going to go through this series, that God's will does not always come to pass because people disobey. We have a role to play, okay? But in this case, God's will did come to pass because he scattered them, and that was for the betterment of mankind, as we will find out later on in this teaching. Okay, so now let's go and highlight verses 27 all the way to verse 32. I'm going to read that. Verse 27. This is pertaining to Abraham's family. This is crucial now, because we're going to find out in the very next chapter a lot about this man, Abram. Okay, so verse 27. This is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both are married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarah was childless, because she was not able to conceive. So what is happening in these verses is that the Lord is setting a stage, if you will, for us to get a good understanding of who this man Abram was and his wife Sarah, who was childless. Okay? Verse 31, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. So now we see Abram's family, they have relocated from Ur the Chaldeans, and now they have settled in Haran. Okay, so I'm going to pause there for now. So let's look at some of the principles we have learned from chapter 11. The first principle, there is a biblical principle that pride and arrogance comes before a fall and destruction. The book of Proverbs really highlights that. You know, our pride was the main sin of our Lucifer, who later became Satan. God hates pride and arrogance, because God is a gentleman, if you will. God is humble. The God of the Bible is gentle, and he is humble. So we see this pride and arrogance operating in verse 4, as the people wanted to make a name for themselves, and they disobeyed God and refused to populate the earth in spite of God's instructions. Okay? And you see, God would never honor pride and disobedience. Please get that straight. If you are a Christian and you are not obeying the instructions of God as outlined in the scripture, you are setting up yourself for, just limiting the presence of God in your life, and his grace and his blessings. God still loves you regardless, because God is love. But your actions of disobedience limit the presence of God in your life, because God is not going to bless disobedience and pride. Okay? Now, so what is the application? How do we apply this? God's will will always come to pass. His overall absolute will always come to pass. Remember, I took some time to explain. I will just repeat this. However, in our individual lives, God's will for us, God's best plan for us does not always come to pass because we have a role to play. And unfortunately, sometimes we disobey God, so we prevent God's best will to come to pass in our individual lives. However, God's sovereign, absolute will come to pass. Okay? When we refuse to obey God and instead choose to follow our own path, He will find a way. God will find a way for His will to come to pass one way or the other. Just like I was saying, if I had disobeyed God's calling in my life to be a minister and God had endowed me with certain gifts and callings to minister, well, guess what? God would still love me, but He would find somebody else in the earth who would obey Him, and He would endow them with similar qualities, just like myself, to do what He had called me to do, but I disobeyed. Okay, so God will find a way to get it done, one way or the other. In today's society or in this era, because of Jesus, thank you, Lord, God is not gonna punish you because of disobedience. Okay, He may not cause confusion in your life. Okay, as He did with the people of the Tower of Babel. But your disobedience, okay, would open the door for Satan to come into your life and cause problems. Okay, and your disobedience would open the door for events to come into your life that God would allow, because you disobeyed Him, and because of your disobedience, you remove the lid of protection that God wants to offer to you. So this would lead to events that would happen in your life because God allowed it, because you first and foremost disobeyed. So God allowed it by just respecting your choices. Okay? And through a chain of certain events, God may use that to humble you, and hopefully you would learn a lesson if you choose. But think about this carefully. It is not that God sent events or orchestrated events to teach you a lesson, but it is the fact that you disobeyed and you opened the door for Satan to come into your life to cause havoc, and God just allowed it because you disobeyed God. So you initiated the events, not God. Okay? Because many times there are Christians who would say, oh, God is, I don't know why God is allowing this in my life. Oh, I don't know why God is allowing me to suffer like this. I don't know why God is allowing this and that. Well, instead of rushing into that conclusion, how about if you evaluate your life, if there is something, if there's some kind of disobedience in your life, if there is something in your life that might have opened the door and allowed this chain of events to take place, and then God just allowed it because you had disobeyed Him. Okay? Again, I am not saying that everything that happens in our lives is because of something that we did. No, that is not what I am saying. What I am saying is that the majority of times, it is us who opened the door and who allowed things, and due to disobedience, God allowed it. However, there are times that things happened or things would happen in our lives that we are not in disobedience. Okay, it just happens. And sometimes God allows certain things in our lives that we don't know why. And this side of heaven, in this earth, we will not have all the answers. When we die and go be with the Lord, we may have all the answers as to why certain things happen. So don't feel guilty, or because there are people who are righteous, godly people who suffer a lot of pain, rejection, persecution, just hardship, and they are walking righteously with the Lord, and we just don't know why bad things happen to good people at times, okay? So, to conclude this chapter, the bottom line is that, you know, if God is asking us to do something as written in His Word, we have to just obey it and carry out His instructions, okay? Okay, at least He would accomplish it some way. We can either learn through hard knocks and through pain and suffering, or we just obey God and minimize a lot of heartache in our lives, okay? Obeying God would always bring satisfaction and peace, while disobedience would always lead to a headache, allowing Satan to torment us, and it would lead to much confusion and dissatisfaction, which is not God's will for the believer. All right? Okay. So as you walk in obedience, just trust that God will take care of you. And He does, because God is faithful, faithful, faithful. All right.
Dr. Ruth Tiny Ministries has a 24-hour website where you will find many other ministry resources to help you grow and information about upcoming ministry events, plus much more. Our website address is drruthtani.org. That's drruthtani.org. While at the website, also sign up for our weekly devotional teachings that will encourage, comfort, and edify you daily. You can also write us at Dr. Ruth Tiny Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. Or feel free to call us at 909-383-7978. We would like to hear from you to know how this podcast is helping you. Please contact us with your testimonies. We would really appreciate that. We would also like you to prayerfully consider joining Dr. Ruth Tiny Ministries as a partner to further the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Joining us is easy. Just visit our website, write, or call us today. Until next time, may you be richly blessed in the Lord.